appreciate everybody coming to worship with us this morning. You know, as Kirby mentioned, I think as I mentioned, I was at Army Reserves this past week. I'll be retiring December 1st this year after 31 years. I'm a chaplain in the Army Reserves, which is a preacher in the Army Reserves. And I've been happy to serve as a chaplain for 31 years, and I'll be happy to serve as a retired chaplain for the rest of my life. But when I go there to the reserves, I'm always praying that God would use me, that I could bring Jesus' love to people and talk to them about Jesus and just do whatever God wanted me to do there. And the last couple of weeks I've been going there, it's like, every time somebody comes, talks to me, has questions, but this time was the most phenomenal time of all. I drove up there Monday morning to Rock Island headquarters, 1st Army in Rock Island, Illinois, which is about 3 hours northwest of here. I left at 8 a.m., got there about 11:15, 11:20. I was in my uniform. I had my backpack, different things, getting ready to go into the building. And as I'm walking into the building, there are two doors. There's the outer door, everyone can come in, but then there's the security door that you have to have a special card and a password to get into. I've had a number of conversations after I got there, but to this day, on this Monday, I walked in the outer door, and as I'm walking in the outer door, a gentleman and his wife were walking in with me, just ahead of me. She goes up to the right, to the door upstairs, but he stops and says, "Chaplain, I need to talk." I did not even get to my office. I did not even get to the hallway. Between the outer door and the inner door, I stood for an hour ministering to, talking to this man about some needs he had in his life, some things that were going hard and difficult for him. And then we stood between these two doors and we had prayer together. And then my week began. Man, you never know when God is going to use you and what that's going to look like in your life. We've been studying about God callings, about how Christians believe that God actually speaks to human beings. And that down through history, God has talked to human beings because there's something God needed done. And we've talked about the different creative ways God speaks to people and how he comes to them and makes himself known. But all the people we've talked about have been men. They've been men. All the names we've talked about, Abraham, you know, Isaac, all the different, they've all been men. But God's all about equal rights. So we're going to talk this morning about how God spoke to a woman who would become the mother of his son. And we're looking today, and the Bible verse will be up on the screen, on Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The date is around 0 AD. It's a small city in Nazareth, a town in Israel. Rome ruled the world. And the Israelites' people had been looking for a Messiah, a Savior, someone to deliver them for centuries. But he was going to look different than anything they could have ever imagined or thought about. And so we read verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, right out of the gate, we read this and it says, okay, so what? But this is huge. This is huge. The Israelites had been expecting a deliverer, a Savior, but they didn't know what their Savior would look like. So down through the years, God would give them hints or prophecies of what to look for, so when their Savior, when their Messiah came, they would recognize him and they would worship him. And one of the prophecies was that when the Savior came, he would be born of a virgin, a woman who's never been sexually intimate with a man. And another one of the prophecies, another one of the hints that God gave the people was that he would be born in the family tree of a King David who lived way before here, 1,000 years earlier. But the Messiah would come through the family tree of David, be born of a virgin of the family tree of David. Now, there are a number of other prophecies pointing to the Messiah, the Savior. Now, if I'm looking at these two prophecies, I'm thinking the second one is probably easier to pull off than the first, right? You know, okay. It would be tough to have the Messiah born to the family tree of David. That would be a hard one, but I think it's pretty easily, that's doable for God. But to have a baby born of a virgin, a woman who's never been intimate with a man, that's impossible. Impossible. But God is in the business of making the impossible possible. God is in the business of doing things that have never been done before. And so God just happens to send his angel Gabriel to a virgin named Mary, who just happens to be engaged to a man named Joseph, who just happens to be in the family line of the tree of David. Prophecy, first prophecy, born of the virgin, check. Second prophecy, tree of David, check. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, favor means to receive blessings or to be honored. And so the angel says to Mary, comes to her, she's not looking forward, says to her, "Mary, hey, you're going to receive God's blessings. You're going to receive honor from God. You're going to receive all these incredible things." And why? Because the Lord is with you. But you know, I've always wondered, why Mary? Why not some other lady? Why not another virgin who is maybe engaged to be married to a man who's in the line of David? Why not somebody named Ruth or Naomi or Orpha? Why not any of a number of other women? Why did not God choose to honor them and show his favor to them? Why Mary? What did Mary do to receive God's blessing, God's favor? Absolutely nothing. God just came to her and chose her to show her his grace, his blessings, his favor. And there's absolutely nothing she did to deserve it. He just came to her. And you know, that's just like us. You know, we can do nothing to deserve God's favor, nothing, his blessings. You know, God just bestows upon us you know, his blessings, his favor, the wonderful things he's given us us in life. And why us? And the angel comes to Mary. And like Mary, all we can do is receive it when God bestows it on us. And it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You," here we go, "have found favor with God." Here we hear, favor with God again. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom would never end. The angel tells Mary, this is what God's favor is going to look like. This is what God's blessing in your life will be like. You're going to become pregnant with a child from God. And you're going to give birth to God's son, and you are to call him Jesus, which literally means the Lord saves. This is what your role will be and what your blessing will look like. But did you notice the words, he will? It says, you know, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. He will, he will, he will. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? That Mary's future will be totally defined by the future of her son that she will soon have. You ever know, ever met someone and you don't know who they are, but they're famous simply because of who they're married to? You know, so you don't recognize their name, but they're married or related to someone who's very, very famous. Okay, here's a little test. Let me throw some names out at you. Okay. All right. Sibby Blazek. Anyone know who Sibby Blazek is? She's the wife of Christian Bale. All right, everybody who knows who Christian Bale is. Batman, Robin. Okay, all right, let's try another one. All right, Luciana Barroso. All right, anybody know Luciana Barroso? Anybody know her? Matt Damon's wife. Everybody know Matt Damon? Okay, here's another one. Jim Toth. Anyone know Jim Toth? Fan of Jim Toth? Reese Witherspoon's husband. What about Danny Mulder? Anyone know Danny Mulder? He's married to Julia Roberts. All right, now, everybody know Julia Roberts? Yeah, okay, know Julia Roberts. Ordinary men and women who no one knows except for the fact of the person that they're related to. And Mary, you know, Mary would not be great. Mary would not be called the daughter of the Most High. Mary would not reign. Mary's kingdom would never end. Those were not her roles to fill. No, Mary would simply forever and ever be known as Mary, the mother of Jesus. But for Jesus to do what God was sending him to earth to do, Mary had to do what God needed her to do. Don't minimize your role that you're playing in this world. Don't think that what you're doing is unimportant and doesn't amount to anything or mean anything. If you are a Jesus follower and you believe in Jesus and obeying God, what you do, what you're doing in this world may not have any impact today or tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. But I promise you, if you are living for God and living out his call in your life and fulfilling your role that he has for you to fulfill, today there are people who will be worshiping God in heaven forever. Remember the picture we showed earlier of the couples that visited with us, Bernie and Watha Shores and Chuck and Martha? What's it, Phyllis, Chuck and Martha Phyllis, remember them? They were part of Temple Baptist Church years ago. But I don't think they imagined in any way, shape, or form that we would be sharing, telling such awesome CEG students about Jesus and about God. I don't think that when they were worshiping here and serving here at Temple Baptist those years earlier that they would ever conceive that we would have such a marvelous ministry to the incredible people at the Eden Center. There was no way they could have even begun to imagine that we would be sharing our facilities here and making a difference in the world because we share our facilities with a Champaign Chinese Christian church. They had no idea that we would be making a difference for the kingdom of God the way we're making a difference for heaven today. But because they served God back then and worshiped God back then and were used by God back then, we are involved in God's ministry here today. And so while they were here, I told them, thank you. I said, thank you for giving us this wonderful ministry that we have. Thank you for giving us this church that we can worship in. Thank you for making the difference you made then so that we can continue to make a difference in the world now. And God called to Mary. Then we find verse 34. Mary's response. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? All right. I think on the inside she's saying, hey, sounds good to me, God. I'm all in. Yeah, let's do this. Oh, just one small problem. There's just one detail. I've never been intimate with a man. I'm still a virgin. How's this? How, God? You know, that's a fair question, right? You know, I think it's a legitimate big ask. You know, we all, before we commit to something, we want to know how it's going to work out, right? Man, who here commits to something or says, yeah, I'll do something without being sure of what you're getting involved in? You know, anybody? No. We always want to know what we're getting involved in, what it's going to take from us, and we would like to know the outcome from the beginning, right? We like to be sure of what's going to happen here before we commit to do anything here. But if we know the end from the beginning, where's the fun of the journey? The unknown. The thrill of taking the ride and hanging on in the middle of it. But see, Mary's problem is our problem because it's a human problem. We live life based upon our past experiences. Because of what's happened to us in the past, if this has happened, this has happened, all right, this is the way the world works here in our past, we sort of believe that this is the way the world's going to work in the future, right? What has always happened, well, that's all that will ever happen. But if we're tied down to our past and only what's happened to our past, we do not open ourselves to the possibility of what God may have in store for us and God might want to do through us in our future. Man will never fly, right, brothers? Humankind will never walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong. It always takes a man and a woman to have a baby. Jesus. You know, Mary has a lot of data to back her up. All these years, all these centuries The way that babies have been made is the way that babies have been made. A man, a woman, a baby, or a woman, a man, a baby. But it always takes at least a man, a woman to have a baby, right? We're always limited by what has been done in our past. What we believe God wants to do through us in our futures. See, we're limited by our humanness. But God's not human. We're limited by the natural. But God is supernatural. We're limited by our time. But God is infinite. We're limited by so many things, but God is not limited by anything. So when the God who is supernatural steps into our natural, the God who is infinite steps into our time, the God who's not limited by anything steps into our world who are limited by people who are limited by so many things, anything can happen. He's God. He can get it done. And so many of us see ourselves as less than we really are. We see ourselves limited by what we have done or what we didn't do. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not friendly enough. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not exceptional enough. I'm only average. I'll never be more than I am. But don't let what you've experienced in your past keep you from experiencing what God wants you to know and receive in your future. How would this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month. In verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing is impossible with God, which means, if I understand this correctly, that means absolutely everything is possible with God. God's call to Mary, Mary's questioning, and then we see Mary's yes. As she's processing all this and trying to take it all in, she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Servant means to belong to his or her master. Mary is saying, okay, God, I belong to you. You own my mind. You own my being. You own my life. You own my breath. You own everything about me, God. But then she takes it one step further and says, may it be to me as you have said. Now, God, not only do you own me today, God, whatever it is you have in my future, may it be to me in my future, just as you have told me here now in my present. But for God to do through Mary what God needed to do through Mary, he needed all of Mary. All of her. And for God to do what he needs and wants to do through you, he needs all of you. He needs you, your mind, your life, your breath, to give him your future. So today, right now, will you begin to consider to give all of you to God? Will you give God your heart, your mind? Will you give God your life? Will you give God your breath? right now, will you consider to saying, God, I give you my life. God, I give you my life. Give your life to the God who sent his son Jesus to give his life for you. Dear God, thank you for this time we have had together in this space. Thank you for the new friends that we have just met this morning, these awesome young men and women who you brought to the University of Illinois to study. And you brought them here this morning to just spend time to learn and understand something about Christianity. Lord, we've experienced so much in our past, but dear God, you have a future waiting for us that you want to give to us. You had a future for Mary she didn't know about till that day you made it known to her, and she said, I am your servant, Lord. May it be to me as you have said. Dear God, maybe today there's someone who's beginning to want to say, Dear God, I give you my life. I give you my life. Might they have the courage and the strength to say that in their heart, to share that with others, and to begin to live that for eternity. Our Father, thank you for this time that we've had together now. Go with us. Let us just rejoice in the creation that you've given to us and all the goodness that you want to bestow upon us, and to bring us back together this next Sunday to worship you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.